Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
The beauty in Butkus's style lay in its violent simplicity. He was straightforward and direct.
The idea was to tackle and bring the guy down, and it was all the same objective, not only to tackle and get the guy down, but also to maybe put it in his mind that it's not going to be just the plain old tackle, fall down and go boom and lift the guy up and go back. And that wasn't the way I wanted to get the point across.
We needed to hear John Facenda in FM, because after all, we're Chicago Sports Radio 104.3 FM, The Score. We're still on 670 AM. Here's the difference. If you're out way out beyond 50 miles, you can still get us on 670 AM. If you're inside 50 miles, especially if you're driving downtown, you're driving in and around the buildings, Lower Wacker, Lower Wacker, Lower Michigan, all of that, then
104.3 FM. And we all sound so bitchin'. And later this hour, the Wake and Bake Club will be heard for the first time in FM.
Rosie, I'm going to admit, yesterday I officially made the switch mid-drive in here. I turned from 670 to 104.3, and I was like, wow.
Wow. Yeah, we all sound pretty bitchin' in that, right? Hey, guys and gals, loadies and loaders, wakers and bakers. So we'll bring that to you later. We are bringing this to, we needed to hear John Facenda. I mean, that was the voice of God. And we should, that's another reason we should bring Mark Gonzalez on. And Gonzo should be here because his walk-up music is John Facenda reciting the poem, "The Autumn Wind is a Pirate. The Autumn Wind is a Raider." Okay, they're going to play a Super Bowl tomorrow. I did want to read one of the texts, and I don't know what it is. Oh, 309. Steve, Route 66 starts in downtown Bloomington, Illinois, to Towanda outside Normal. Smoke a blunt. Drive back in the illegal days. Uri in Normal. Uri, it sounds like you've sparked already. I don't know. I don't recommend that you drive, but I did not understand any of that. But you take your Route 66, I'll take mine. Moving right along. Here's a Super Bowl tweet from Father Thomas Petrie. For starters, let me bring you his Twitter bio. Friar, Doctor of Sacred Theology, Papal Missionary of Mercy, Clergy Knight of the Holy Sepulchre, made in Detroit, aged in Kentucky. Now see, when I read this, it's hard to go against the man. He seems to have a lot on his side. But I kept talking about the Bears getting the new Pope bounce, right? Pope Bob in the South Side calling on The Score. We tried to get his brother on. We wanted to see if he had anything, if the Pope had anything to do with all of the miracles that were being pulled off.
The Pope!
Here's the tweet from Father Thomas Petrie. The Seattle papal streak continues. Did you know there was a Seattle papal streak, Tyler?
Unaware.
Me too. The tweet continues. The Seattle Seahawks reached their first Super Bowl in 2006 after Pope Benedict XVI's 2005 election. Again in 2014 after Pope Francis's 2013 election. They won it all that time, and now in 2026 after Pope Leo's 2025 election. Okay, so Pope Leo's from the United States. That's right, right? We first United States-born Pope. But he's Chicago, which some people would consider away from the United States. Not in the way Texas is a banana republic, not in the way Florida is a banana republic that is not part of the United States, but anyways, That's what the father's saying. The Super Bowl papal streak for the Seahawks. They also reached but lost the Super Bowl in 2015. Oh, my God. Who would forget the Seattle Seahawks losing the Super Bowl when it was 2 yards of Marshawn Lynch, max, to have won that Super Bowl? I think that was the Super Bowl. Was that the one when... I saw another one. I saw something earlier today. Vrabel caught a TD pass in one of the Super Bowls.
That was one of the first three ones.
Yeah, there was they were on back-to-back.
Yeah, I think that was Panthers and Eagles, 04 and 05, those Super Bowls New England
won. The Eagles won? Do you know what Bill Belichick did? They actually showed it. Well, now it's 20 years later he could do it. Before that Super Bowl, he had a meeting either earlier that day or the night before when they have the meeting. I mean, the Bears had that famous meeting before the Super Bowl in 1986, the 85 Bears, when Buddy Ryan started the film. He said, and he's in tears and goes, "You guys are my heroes." And everybody knew what was coming. He was leaving. And the film started, and then I think it was Mongo threw a chair through the wall, right where the film was supposed to be shown. And that was that. Well, Bill Belichick must have been out of one of the Philadelphia papers. He read the Eagles' parade plans. And he's doing a very matter-of-factly going, okay, I think you guys should know this. This is the Eagles' parade route. They're planning to start at... where would this go down Broad Street, and then they're going to make a left here, and the Eagles would be in double-decker buses, it says here. Just wanted you to know so you know what their plans are. It was great. It was whatever, the way he did it, and they caught it on video, outstanding. Anyways, the tweet from Father Thomas Petrie goes on, Seahawks also reached but lost Super Bowl in 2015. The franchise began in 1974. There's an appendix to his Super Bowl tweet, this father. They didn't make the Super Bowl in 1979 after the papal elections of 1978. What a strange and difficult year that was for the church. Difficult for the church. Father, you should have been here with the Bears. Neil Armstrong coaching. Bob Avellini is the quarterback. Father, please. At least we had Doug Buffon. So I told you I had some trivia for you, Tyler. There's two trivia questions matching Super Bowl quarterbacks with other particular professions. In this case, this one you might have heard already, but I'll let you try to answer it. Schools, colleges that have produced Super Bowl quarterbacks and presidents.
University of Delaware.
Okay. Do you want to name them? You're right.
Joe Flacco, Joe Biden.
It's very nice. That's very good.
The University of Michigan. I know that was obviously Tom Brady. And I think I forgot the president, but I know that's another school.
It is. Gerald Ford would be your president.
Gerald Ford. Okay.
You can stay awake in history. You're allowed to know something that happened before you were born. If you want.
This is another one. I think I'm forgetting the present, but isn't Miami, Ohio on the list as well?
Indeed it is.
Ben Roethlisberger, I know, was the quarterback.
Uh-huh. And then president with two first names.
President with two first names. Mm.
Or two last names, depends on how you look at it. Benjamin Harrison.
Okay. I see, that's the one I'm obviously a little bit more weaker in is that category. So I have three of the six?
No, you got three of the five.
Three of the five.
Two more to go.
Two more. Is University of Pennsylvania on there?
It is not.
It is not. Okay.
You can keep going. You can keep trying. I'm not going to let you name it all 300 colleges or anything like that.
I know I've guessed this one before, and I'm drawing a blank. This is where it gets tougher for me.
All right. If I tell you Stanford, would you give me some names?
Stanford quarterback, definitely John Elway. President, again. Well,
there's two Stanford quarterbacks, by the way.
Two Stanford quarterbacks.
Two, yeah.
All right. Well, now I got another.
Again. So, it's history, and but you're allowed to know things that happened before you were born. Jim Plunkett.
I was just, it just dawned on me before you said, I was like, I think it's Jim Plunkett.
Okay. And the president, you're never going to get
this. I'm not going to get it.
This is really history. Herbert Hoover.
Yeah, I was never going to get that.
So the last one is a service academy.
Oh, Navy,
mm-hmm.
Roger Staubach.
Yep.
And the I know this one too, and it's not dawning on me right now.
Then you don't know it.
Can you give it to me?
Yes, I can. Jimmy Carter.
Okay.
Jimmy Carter, the peanut farmer. So here's, you can add to your knowledge. If Seattle wins, the answer remains the same because USC, Sam Darnold's, the college Sam Darnold went to, was out of which he was drafted, never produced a president. The only thing USC has produced is a host of Saturday suckage, but that's not why you called. Moving right along. If New England wins, Drake May from the University of North Carolina becomes part of that trivia answer. Our 11th president, the name of which you have no idea, Tyler, I can tell by the look on your face. You want to guess? 11th president of the United States? The United States of America?
That goes way back. It goes way back.
Right. Even after Washington, though. So maybe after. Okay. So James K. Polk, James Knox Polk, the 11th president of the United States from North Carolina, along with Drake May. So now you can add to your knowledge of that trivia question. Here's one I had never seen before. I don't know if you had. You're welcome to play along at home if you want to. This one comes courtesy of Adam Spencer. He's executive editor of Saturday Down South. Amaze your friends. Be the hit of your party tomorrow. And we'll discuss Super Bowl parties in the next segment with Jay Zawoski, the co-founder of the I'm Fat podcast. What you serve, why you serve it, what would you prefer to serve? There we go. Schools to produce both a Super Bowl winning quarterback and a Best Actor or Best Actress Oscar winner. Does not mean that the Best Actor, Best Actress Oscar winner had to graduate, because not everybody goes to college, graduates, you know, and then it goes for quarterbacks too. Anyways, there are five matches. You want to go anywhere with this? What if I tell you there's one from the previous, and there's a school from the previous question that shows up in this?
I'm going to think about that. The first one that came to my mind, UCLA's got to be on that list. Am I correct?
Very good, Tyler.
Troy Aikman.
Very good. Do you know the actor? Actually, an actor and actress who have won Oscars.
This is where I'm going to get bit, is this second column again.
It's okay. Very good. UCLA. I didn't know you knew all four letters of the alphabet, Tyler. There are times I wonder. Anyways, Troy Aikman, indeed. Super Bowl winner three times. Helen Hunt won an Oscar. She's a UCLA, went to UCLA. She won for As Good As It Gets, 1997. And in 1995, Nicolas Cage leaving Las Vegas. All the stuff Nicolas Cage has done, I forgot he actually won an Oscar. I mean, National Treasure, right? Things are really good. But so UCLA, all right.
How about Stanford?
Very good.
On the list?
You know the quarterbacks, right?
John Elway, Jim Plunkett.
Okay, now.
Oof. Yep.
It's an actress.
Actress.
So that cuts the field in half for you. Won an Oscar. Won an Academy Award. In 2006, you were born. You were alive.
5 years old back in 2006.
And you were watching award show because that's what you did.
I'm gonna have to pass on that. I'm not sure of that one again.
Stanford, Jim Plunkett, John Elway, Reese Witherspoon.
Okay.
She won the Best Actress Oscar for her portrayal of June Carter Cash in Walk the Line. Okay. If I tell you Cal, can you give me the quarterback and the actor?
Quarterback, is it quarterback or quarterbacks?
Singular.
Aaron Rodgers.
Very good. You got an actor for me? I'm telling you, it's an actor.
Actor going to Cal.
It's a movie before you were born, but it's a classic. It's
It's a must-see. You should read the book, too.
I am not going to be able to get this one either.
What
Sorry,
if I
Rosie.
Tell you the character's name was Atticus Finch? Could you give me the actor?
No, I know the movie. I don't know the actor, though.
Can you tell me the movie?
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Right. That's it. Yeah.
I don't know the actor, though.
Gregory Peck. Gregory Peck played Atticus Finch. Read the book by Harper Lee.
We actually did read that in high school.
I can tell. You remembered. All right. I'm going to give you another school. Wisconsin produced a Super Bowl winning quarterback and winner of Academy Award for Best Actor.
Now, this is tough because I'm trying to... Wisconsin produced a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yeah, it's a bit of a tricky question, but yeah.
I feel like it's going to be someone that I definitely don't expect. Would the era give it away?
The era of the quarterback?
What? Yeah, yeah.
How about if I tell you it was the last time the Seahawks went to the Super Bowl?
Oh, duh, Russell Wilson.
Duh, there you go, Russell Wilson. Indeed. So, this actor won two Oscars. He also went to Wisconsin, and you have no chance.
I'm not even going to attempt it.
Frederick March won two Academy Awards, performances in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in 1931, and then 15 years later, the best years of our lives, 1946. Frederick March, ladies and gentlemen.
I would have never guessed that.
Nope, you didn't, as it turned out. So here's one I found quite interesting. Florida State.
Florida
Give me the quarterback.
State.
FSU.
So back in the... No way it was... Florida State.
Yeah, this is a weird one. This is... The quarterback, I think you should get, but the actress, it's going to be an actress. It is an actress. That's a little... This one's a little dirty.
Was it during the Bobby Bowden era? Was about what?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
He coached what? Was it mid-80s to about 2010? I think he was the head coach.
Brad Johnson. I'm giving you the name.
Ooh,
Brad
okay.
Johnson.
That was the Gruden Tampa Bay Super Bowl.
Yes. So the actress was Faye Dunaway. Faye Dunaway won. She graduated from Boston University, but she transferred from Florida State. Academy Award for Best Actress as her performance for her performance as Diana Christensen in Network. She was nominated other times too. Chinatown, Bonnie and Clyde. Okay. Now, if Seattle wins, remember last one with the president? SC doesn't turn out presidents, just Saturday suckage hosts and quarterbacks and running backs. But Sam Darnold will join two actors who have won Academy Awards. Two actors went to USC.
I don't think I'm going to be able to get this either. I'm obviously way better with the athletes where they went to college.
The Duke. Do you know the Duke partner? John Wayne. John Damn Wayne. And Forrest Whitaker. So John Wayne won for Rooster Cogburn in 1970. Forrest Whitaker, 2006, he played Idi Amin, the last king of Scotland. If New England wins, Drake May, here you go. He gets to be part of all these. He joins, in this answer, Oscar-winning actor, actress, with Louise Fletcher. Can you tell me the movie, the role? I'm not asking for the year.
No. I'm not even going to...
Legendary.
I'm
especially if you work at the Score. 104.3 FM, the Score. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. She was Nurse Ratched. Medication time.
Yeah. Sorry, Rosie.
She would also... Drook. Oh, my God. I'm drooking. Drake May would also join a short list on colleges that produced a Super Bowl-winning quarterback and Michael Jordan. See, it's very short list. Very, very short list.
I was wondering really quickly about Mike Vrabel. No president went to Ohio State or no other actor or actress?
Didn't show up on the list.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. There'll be a quiz next week.
And you'll be back next week, so we're going to see how you did on this.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, history. Now you're best. We're going to take a break now to talk food and Hawks and Olympics with one of my favorite people, Jay Zawoski. This is Chicago Sports Radio
104.3 Score.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's Saturday Suckage on The Score. Here's your host, Steve Rosenblum.
Texter suggested that Tyler watch One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Obviously, he's never seen it. Before I was born, I said, Tyler, the greatest movie ever made is my favorite, and it was made before I was born. It's Casablanca.
I think you know me enough by now, Rosie.
And it's black and white.
That...
You know what? I'm going to give you homework. I had homework in a Cinema 1 class that I took, Cinema 101. Yeah, we had homework to watch movies. You're going to have to do that and then report back to the class.
Medication time.
That was Nurse Ratched. But that's not why you called. Or maybe it is. You know what? 52 years ago today, Blazing Saddles was released. Did you see Blazing Saddles, Tyler?
I have not.
And why are you here? Jay Zawoski, have you seen Blazing Saddles?
Of course I've seen Blazing Saddles.
I just want to make sure. Tyler's got a lot of homework. Jay Zawoski is... Yeah.
You know, can we just have old man corner for a minute here? Because now that I am 48 years old, I work with a lot of producers that were my age when I worked for you, Rosie, in their 20s. And I talk about things that I consider modern, like Rage Against the Machine. And they look at me as if I'm talking about a prehistoric band that you know, well, who is this? They're still relevant. Rage Against the Machine is still relevant and still active in certain parts. And you mentioned your favorite movie, Casablanca. My favorite movie came out in 1946. It's called It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, yes.
You can watch things that and listen to things that happened before you were born. It's okay. It's allowed.
I'm trying to tell Tyler that. But that I'm on Blazing Saddles, by the way, I just wanted everybody to know, now joining me on Circus Sports Illinois Hotline is Jay Zawoski. He is the co-founder of I'm Fat Podcast. He is co-host of the CHGO Blackhawks show. We'll talk about that and hockey and food and everything. Download the Circa app today. So the thing about Blazing Saddles was the more beans, Mr. Taggart, and with you on here, the greatest food scene in movies or the food scenes that pop to mind.
No hesitation. The best food scene in the movie is a scene in Goodfellas where they're making the dinner in prison.
Uh-huh.
And they slice the garlic with a razor.
Paul Sorvino, yeah, Paulie Cicero slicing it. That's it. Oh. Huh?
Before you even finished the question, I knew exactly what my answer was.
So the more beans, Mr. Taggart, I believe you boys had enough of that, doesn't it? Or Bluto in the Food Line and Animal House?
Those are great, but in terms of making me salivate,
that's the scene where it's
like, if I could have a meal from a movie, that would be it.
That would be it.
Put me in that prison cell and slice up the garlic, and I am in.
815 texture, can you please tell Jay that I still wear my 0.0 t-shirt representing proudly the I'm Fat podcast. So whiteboard that for the crowd, for the class.
Yes, you see the highfalutin folks that let you know how far they ran. You know, you get the 13.1, the 26.2 stickers on the back of the car, you know, indicate half marathon, marathon. We have a 0.0 I'm Fat podcast sticker indicating you've not run at all. So if you'd like one of those for your car, you can go to imfatmerch.com and get yourself one.
Outstanding. So the Olympics started, the opening ceremonies were last night. The Olympics started a couple days earlier, and the NHL is shutting down, sending players to there. I dislike this whole idea. I think there are far more bad things that can happen than good. What do you think about this? Maybe some people who could watch the Hawks think it's not a bad idea not to have to watch them for 2.5 weeks. What do you think about the NHL going to Italy?
Look, there's one Blackhawk going, it's Teuvo Teravainen. So not that he's not important to the team, but you know, the odds are pretty good that they're not going to be injury ravaged by the Olympics.
Yes.
But I still think of it as a sport that needs a lot of help growing, a sport that needs a lot of help getting eyes on it. And I think that every time there is something like this, I think the Four Nations was a big step last year. And I think being in the Olympics, the big stage where everyone's watching simply because it's the Olympics, people just have it on. My wife is an Olympics fanatic. It is on our TV 24/7, regardless of sport from start to finish. So I think what's good for the NHL is they get some exposure on their game. You're seeing the best of the best. So I think overall for the game of hockey, it is valuable and it is healthy. Now, look, if the Hawks were competing for a Stanley Cup this year and they had 5 or 6 guys over in Milan, I wouldn't be super excited about it. But I do think for the good of the game, it is a good thing to have the NHL in hockey. I always think of this like the World Cup of soccer, right? I don't know how often it happens, but it rolls around every few years, and then people get into it, right? Like, okay, I really enjoyed the World Cup, so I'm going to choose my Premier League team or my, you know, whatever league they choose and start to follow soccer. And you have a big group at first, and then it wears off, right? And then some people stick around, some people don't. And it happens again, and you gain some more, and it happens again, and you gain some more. And you, of course, you're going to have fall off, but you're picking up steam along the way of people that otherwise would not have taken the time to watch hockey or to watch soccer. So I think for the growth of the game, it's a really good thing. And I think the fact that you have so many great players from different countries, where anyone, you know, Sweden can win, Finland can win, Canada, U.S., like even like teams like Germany surprise people, Latvia surprises people, you know, Slovakia, Czechia, like there's teams that are competitive that are not just the big two in terms of hockey. So I think it's good for the game. I know it's hard to quantify that, but I think the health of growing hockey is important. It needs to happen because the NHL doesn't seem to know how to do it on their own very well.
No, I agree with you about the Four Nations Cup. That was as fierce as it got. And I go back to 2002 and 2010, and we saw U.S.-Canada. It was the only matchup that was going to do anything for the NHL if anything was going to happen out of that. And they got the desired finalists. They got the way it's going to. And I didn't feel anything came out of it. And frankly, in 2010, we had Brent Seabrook on the show on Saturday Suckage. And I said, if you're going into the corner and there's Patrick Kane and you have a chance to take him out, are you going to do that with your Stanley Cup hanging in the balance? He goes, oh, yeah, I got it. It's for my country. I'm going, okay, I don't want this ever again. Just for that reason.
That's fair. I knew how he would answer that question.
Of course you did.
And the Four Nations certainly illustrated that because I want to give a lot of credit to the Tkachuk brothers, who, like your father, can be a pain in the ass from time to time. But those guys said, we are making this a thing. This Four Nations can either crash out and be boring and a glorified All-Star game, or it can be a war. And the Tkachuk brothers said, we're going to make this a war, and we're going to drag everybody into it with us. And it was really, really good for the sport. It had a lot of eyes on it at kind of a downtime of the year. And I expect the Olympics to do the same thing. Like, that's what these guys think. That's what they think. If they're competing, they're competing hard, especially when there are stakes as big as an Olympic gold medal. So it's going to be great hockey. I think the benefits outweigh the risk big time.
I don't know that it's going to be great hockey, and here's why. My one of my other gripes about it, because I saw it firsthand in Nagano, and I saw it in Salt Lake City when they even devoted some practice time. They don't play together. These are guys who are wonderful talents. They don't play together. The Russians had the greatest advantage because they were somewhat familiar from playing together in the Red Army team, wherever it was. And the reason the Czechs won in 98 was Dominik Hasek. And then Jaromir Jagr scored when he needed to score. But Hasek stopped. They were playing for a shootout. But normally Olympic hockey is not that tape-to-tape kind of stuff. These guys haven't practiced.
Well, I think Nagano is, you could probably scratch that one off because that was those guys going to party.
I noticed that. Chair! Incoming chair!
Yeah. Yeah, that was, we're going to be the Rolling Stones for a couple weeks and call it a day. And I wonder too, I think you're right. Like, there is a little bit of trying to feel each other out. But I mean, the 2010 gold medal game was outstanding.
Yeah.
We just talked about how good the Four Nations was, and it wasn't good just because of the fighting. I think that's what got attention on it, but I do think the games themselves are pretty good. And a lot of these guys, like, they played World Juniors together, they played, international tournaments growing up, and I think the coaches have sort of figured out, we're just going to do the simplest system we can, something that everyone knows how to play. We're not going to try to reinvent the wheel. We've got an all-star at every position here. So just go play a simple system that we all know and go from there. I just think when you put the best players out there crying, it's going to just be good because of the skill on the ice, right? Now maybe it's not going to look like a well-oiled machine like the Colorado Avalanche are going to look when the playoffs roll around, right? Because they've been together for 82 games plus.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, I don't know, I'm really looking forward to it. And I expect a high level of hockey because I do think the Four Nations got these guys a little bit. It whet the appetite for these guys a little bit, I think.
My guest is Jay Zawoski, CHGO Blackhawks and co-founder of the I'm Fat podcast. And we're talking hockey and we'll be talking food and stuff like that here. Did you see the new documentary on Miracle, which kind of makes my point about the guys practicing together? And the way they did it,
yeah.
and what Herb Brooks did was he didn't pick the best players. He picked the best team, and that's the way he went about it. And that really buttressed my belief of why I'm just not a fan of this now. I don't expect more miracles because there isn't that giant Red Army the way there was in 1980 and all the wet-nosed college kids playing against them. But what went on? Did you see them? Did you see the new doc?
I started it. I have not finished it. I went to, got to the office early yesterday. Said, "Oh, good, I'm here by myself." And then I'll start watching. And then my producer showed up.
Hate that.
Now leave me alone. So I have not gotten a chance to finish. But I think it's hard, Rosie, to compare 1980 to 2026, right? Because just sports in general are so different. Athletes are so different. They're coached differently. But to your point about, you know, building a team and not just putting together the 12 best forwards and six best defensemen, that's what Canada's doing. And I think, or that's what they're trying to do anyway. That's what they think they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And when a lot of people ask about, like, why isn't Connor Bedard on Canada, they're trying to find guys that they think can play on all four lines in all situations, and they want to stack their team that way. So we'll see. We'll see if that pays off for Canada to leave some really, really talented players at home. And by the way, for the record, I'm very glad Connor Bedard is not going
because
for Canada, coming off the injury.
Yeah.
And look, it's still his third year, but it's a ton of hockey. He's played a ton of hockey. So just let him rest his brain, get fully healthy. Same with Frank Nazar. Let those guys heal and come back. And look, there's going to be a pretty decent sell-off here at the deadline, I think. You're going to look at least two veterans going in, Murphy and Dickinson. So you're going to have even more kids in the lineup. So you want the players you know are going to score and are going to lead to be as healthy as they can be. Because once you get rid of some of these veteran guys, you might have some ugly games. It's going to be fun and entertaining, but you don't have those guys that kind of put out the fires you're used to having.
Your thoughts on Connor Bedard when they drafted him compared to your thoughts on Connor Bedard now?
That's a really good question. I will say I expected him to put up bigger numbers more quickly based on everything we had heard. But now what we see, what he's done this year, I feel the same. Does that make sense? So, like, I think the first 2 years put a little bit of, like, ooh, maybe it's just not going to be everything we thought it might be. And now when you see the improvements he made over the summer and the way he came out to start the season, that is the guy that they thought they were getting when they made that first overall pick. And I think a lot of times Blackhawks fans get in this trap of, well, you know, they got Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews and they were good right away. No. you had Duncan Keith playing multiple years in Norfolk in the AHL and Brent Seabrook developing and all the support pieces that became Stanley Cup winners with Kane and Toews. They had been developing in the system forever, and those two were the, not the last piece. I guess Marian Hossa would be the last piece, but the second to last piece to make the team good and make them competitive. So it's almost like this would be as if the Dynasty Hawks got Kane and Toews first, and then all the support pieces naturally. So it's kind of working in the opposite way. So all the guys that are, you're seeing them this year, like Nazar and Oliver Moore and Artem Leshkinov and Sam Renzel, those guys are now learning on the job as Bedard is entering his prime. So it's going to look a little different. But to answer your question, I feel as good about him now as I did the day they drafted him. But okay. There was a little bit of pause over the 2 years prior.
Okay, I trust that. Is there with Super Bowl tomorrow, it is a big eating holiday, or can be. Is it for you, or is any day ending in the letter Y a big eating holiday for you? What's your Super Bowl Sunday like, Jay?
Just give me like buffalo everything.
Okay.
Give me buffalo wings. Give me buffalo chicken dip. One of those things has to be present. That's a given. My wife makes this really simple. I make it too, just not as well as my wife does. It's just called bean dip. You get like the little can of Frito-Lay's bean dip. You mix that with some cream cheese, some chives, some shredded cheese, throw it in the oven. You eat it with some Fritos or some tortilla chips. That's great. That'll be there. And then any sort of fried ball, could be arancini, could be, a cheese ball, a tot, any sort of spherical fried item. Has to be present at all times. And of course, throw a pizza or two in there and I'm good. I like holidays that are food related because some people get really creative with it. Like, oh, I'm going to make this like really nice spread. Like yesterday we had a party for the opening ceremonies. So my wife made ciabatta bread with a nice like pounded thin chicken with, it was like an Italian themed party. Super Bowl, my theme is American food. Fry it, buffalo it, dip it. I don't want anything fancy on Super Bowl Sunday. I want the cheeses.
Yeah.
I want the fried balls. That's all. I don't need any creativity on Super Bowl Sunday. None.
That's right. You can dip and get your dips. Last question before I let you go. This is a Seattle street food that I'd never heard of and never want to hear of again. I want to run this by you. A hot dog with cream cheese on it.
Is that it? Just like a hot dog and cream cheese?
No, there's other stuff, but the idea of putting cream cheese on a hot dog. I don't know if you put... So what, if you put piccalilli on it, you put mustard, it's a hot dog with cream cheese. Does cream cheese belong in a hot dog?
I would... So for me, to answer this question, we need to know the whole creation. Because with your traditional hot dog toppings, it doesn't sound like it would be good. But if you're going to add like cheese and maybe like jalapenos to it, and you're going to try to dress it up a little bit, I might be in on that. Because at that point, the hot dog is just a vehicle for the toppings.
Okay, you're trying to make a Taco Bell hot dog. That's what you're trying to make.
Sure.
Jay, I appreciate it. I'll let you get to your simple buffaloing and frying that'll be on display.
And my balling.
Your balling. Yes. Jay, I love you. I love talking with you.
I love you too. Nice talking to you.
Thanks for coming on. It's Jay Zawoski, CHGO Blackhawks, and the I'm Fat podcast, wherever you get your podcast. Take a break when we come back for the first time on Chicago Sports Radio 104.3 FM, the Wake and Bake Club, Chicago Sports Radio 104.
Our lives aren't like they used to be. They're busier. Early morning Zooms, grabbing coffee to make that in-office meeting, getting to your kid's soccer game on time. Life is different, and so is advertising. To reach any audience, you need your message out there in all media, broadcast to streaming, on screens, and right to the ears of your customers. And that's what we do at Odyssey. Let's build a media campaign that targets the customers you know and want to reach more of. Right here in our community. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Three.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
There's something important.
important I was supposed to do today.
Dopest dope I've ever smoked. Hands down, dopest dope I've ever smoked.
Wake and Bake Club.
I love weed.
I smoke weed every second of every day.
Hey, I am your stoner.
Even Smokey the Bear is going, only you can... I knew this.
We're so high right now.
We're not low.
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E. Will you open up the door? Yeah, Dave.
Dave?
Right, man. Dave. Now, will you open up the door?
Dave's not here.
Oh.
Hey. Smoke weed every day.
I had the flu one time. Did a gummy bear. I was like breakfast at Bernie's, you know, the dead guy.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go to a party, and I went to the party, and they sat me in a chair, and people got sat beside me, took pictures, and I'm sitting there like breakfast at Bernie's.
Smoke weed every day.
Welcome in. Wake and Bake Club.
First Wake and Bake Club on 104.3 FM, the score.
And what I'm going to bring you is something from the podcast hosted by Ted Danson called Everybody Knows, Where Everybody Knows Your Name. And everybody knows these names, Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey. And they were talking. Now, you might have thought they were enemies because of the way some of the fallout from True Detective, right? Turns out not. Their whole families are getting together, as you'll hear in this piece of tape.
I want to ask you a question about something that you've been asked a million times, but I feel like it's just one of those mandatory things. It's got to be the on dimples? This podcast. Huh?
The dimples?
Yeah, the dimples. Where the f*** you get those dimples?
Come on.
Come on. Hey,
no, that from mom.
You that met wasn't mom, what I want to ask.
Him and my mom, Mac, have a major crush on each other. Before we get started, you know,
I do.
My mother
her.
And mom, Mac, have been kicked out of two bars for
really?
Smoking marijuana, as my dad would call it, for smoking joints together, setting off fire alarm in one.
Yeah.
The other one was just like, that's illegal. What the hell y'all doing? Get out of here. And they ran.
We ran. That's right.
Me and my mom.
Well, we ran the first time, too.
Yeah.
When that
and
fire
you got away both times,
off.
Didn't you?
That big fire alarm. Both times we got out of trouble.
Oh. Yeah. It gets... Talk about I'm staying when he and my mom get together.
Wow. Were you there or were you?
Oh, no. She's fun, man.
I was in the was in another room having a beer at the bar or something like that. Anyway.
Do you smoke ever, but just not now? Or
no, you don't want him smoking.
Uh-uh.
Oh.
Hey, that, I go the other way.
He had a little puff last night.
Did you? No, I go that new stuff.
I faked a puff.
Yeah.
The new stuff does not agree with my constitution and my mental makeup. It goes the other way. Time speeds up for me. I've chipped front tooth three times, falling out of a tree on a full moon.
Wow.
When I smoked some of that stuff Woody has.
All right. So there's Matthew McConaughey, chipping teeth, falling out of a tree three times. He got so high, that's what happened.
All right.
And there's Woody Harrelson. Getting high with Matthew McConaughey's mom in public, and they get chased out of two bars together. I think it's a great way to open the Wake and Bake Club on 104.3 FM, Chicago Sports Radio. So we will bring you more of that. And I think Matthew McConaughey kind of sparks it, that it's like one time I got so high that I fell out of a tree three times and chipped my teeth. We're going to go back to that. We've done that before, and I have one from a famous NFL stoner. Bring you that. I have one from my son that he reminded me of. I'll bring you that. And then you can contribute on the text line, call in, whatever you want to do. In the meantime, let me tell you about this. Tune in to Super Bowl 60 tomorrow, right here on The Score. Super Sunday coverage begins at 1 and continues throughout the day. Then it's Seahawks versus Patriots kickoff at 5:30 right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. I'll take a break when we come back. I think I'm going to try to kick the NFL and its racist rocks. Maybe you'll agree with me. Maybe you won't. Maybe you can set me straight. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio.
104.3 The Score.
All right.
Hey guys, this is Matt Norlander, co-host of the Ion College Basketball Podcast with Gary Parrish. We are part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, and College Hoops is turning toward what's going to be a phenomenal March. So be sure you are tuned into the show. We're going to be publishing at least 4 shows every week. Follow and listen to Ion College Basketball free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. March is coming.